Morning, in this bright, early, and crisp Monday morning. I am thankful that you are joining me this morning. I hope that you've had a good weekend, relaxing and productive. And wanted to share what God put on my heart this morning, this week. It's funny how faithful God has been. I guess I'd say it's funny, but God has been so faithful to give me a topic each week. I used to, as I said before, used to do these videos, and that's kind of what happened. He would give me a topic each week. But I remember when I started this time, and I felt like He was wanting me to start again from a break of a few years of doing this, that I would have things ready because I'm writing a book, and I have things that haven't gone in the book yet, and it's probably going to be a devotion book. So I remember feeling like He was saying that if I didn't feel like something creative came up that week, I always had those things to fall back on. I started this the Monday before my husband had his surgeries that week. I talked to y'all about that before. And what's interesting is He has been faithful to give me something new every week. You know, that's just how good God is. He's just faithful and always, every way, I guess I should say, always, always, and in always. So, as I was thinking about this week, what to do, the thought came to my mind about Jesus in the storm, and the Jesus and the disciples in the storm. And you probably all know the scripture. It's a very familiar scripture, a passage of scriptures about Jesus dealing with storms and waves. And it's in the three gospels, synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And so I wanted to look at the ones in those books. I picked the one in Mark 4 first. It has a little bit different language, as they all do, because they're different authors. So think about that. Every story is not exactly the same in each book because a different person is there, just like at any type of scene where, let's say, people have eyewitnesses there. There's little nuances of differences. So this is in Mark 4, verse 35. I'm going to read the passage to you. On that day, when evening came, Jesus said to them, "Let's go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was, and the other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. They woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Hush, be still." And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They became very much afraid and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" I had some extra time a few weeks ago and I decided to start reading through the New Testament. And as I have not read through it like this before, I have read through the Bible, I believe at least four times, maybe five. And it's a Bible reading plan that I use each time where we skip and we're in Genesis and then maybe in Psalms and Proverbs or no, probably the major prophets, then Psalms and Proverbs, then the New Testament, then the minor epistles, and it goes like that. And so each day of the week, you kind of move through books. And I love that reading plan. Absolutely love it. So much that I've done it four or five times. I've tried a few others, but I like that one. I don't know where I got it. It's on a piece of paper way before computers, probably, because it's not printed out. And so it has no markings on it. So I have no idea where it came from. And it's all the way to the margins. But this was a little different, and I've enjoyed it. You kind of learn nuances and things during the timeline if you read it chronologically, if you read your Bible chronologically. So, anyways, as I was looking at this one, it's funny because it says a fierce gale of wind. Now, it didn't say a big wind came. It didn't say a just a large rain wind. A fierce gale of wind. So listen to the language that's there. And the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. Now, we're talking a bit of probably terror here. I don't know if you would feel that way, but I would if there is a fierce gale of wind. So the boat is rocking back and forth. It's being jostled by the wind, probably. And the waves are so big, they're coming, the water is coming in. And there is nothing they can do. They are just helpless during this situation. So Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. There's a whole lot that, of sermons that have been done on that. Look those up because, I mean, he's on a cushion. As Dr. Tony Evans said, he meant to go down and lay down there. He puts his head on a nice little place, a soft place. But they woke him up and they said, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? Hey, we're out here, about to die." And he got up and he rebuked the wind and he said to the sea, "Hush, be still." And the wind died down. Now, if you have ever been through a storm, we have been through a hurricane here, there is a building the way the wind and the waves, the wind starts and the rain starts, slowly and steadily, and then it builds and builds and builds and builds, and then the eye of the hurricane comes through, it gets a calm, I mean it gets fierce, and then the eye of a hurricane comes through and it gets calm, and then it gets roaring again. The wind is fierce, the rain is probably fierce, and then it gradually, as it moves away, it dies down gradually. Gradually dies down. And then there's very little wind, very little rain, until it just totally stops. So in this passage, it says the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. So I think, yes, we would have a great miracle if Jesus stood up and said, "Hush, be still," and it kind of settled and settled and settled. Yes. But that didn't even happen. Think about being a disciple in the boat right there, and it becomes, whew, and the sea becomes perfectly calm. There's no little bitty waves that are still there. It's done and gone. And listen to what it says. Now Jesus says to them next, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Then it says, listen to the language. Then they became very much afraid. Okay, we just painted the picture of how afraid they were and how afraid you probably would be and I would be if this fierce gale of wind that is beating against the boat is probably rocking and being tossed to and fro, and the waves are coming in, the water's coming in. But now, when Jesus stands up and says, "Hush, be still," it says they became very much afraid. Whole different type of afraid. One, you're afraid of dying. The other, you're still living and not gonna die, but you're not sure what you're standing next to. You are terrified in a whole different way. And it says they looked at each other and said, "What manner of man is this?" Some versions say, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Okay? And then I began to look at other passages where some of the same language has happened. Some of the same language happened, like say in the Gospels there. Matthew 8, when Jesus came into Peter's home, he saw his mother-in-law laying sick in bed with a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her, and she got up and waited on them. Again, think about this. When you recover first from a sickness, you recover, you're better, but it's a gradual process to get your strength back. We talked about that a few weeks ago with, any type of flu or virus or, some like sickness like that, or even my husband with his wound. It's a gradual healing process. But she got up and waited on them. Some versions say, and served them. Okay? And when evening came, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were ill. All. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. He himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. So far the storm has obeyed. The sickness has obeyed. Okay? In Mark chapter 1, verse 21, it says, "And they went into Capernaum, And immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, talking to themselves again, you know, to each other, just like the disciples did on the boat. "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him?" And at once his fame was spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. So here we have it that the spirits obey him. See, that's why I noticed the three similarities. Things that obeyed, and the language in this one says it exactly, they obeyed him just like the wind and the waves did, and just like the sickness did with Peter's mother-in-law. It was, you know, instant. He convulsed him there, but it was instant. He was gone. Sickness obeyed, storms obeyed, spirits obey. What manner of man is this? That should be our response to Jesus. Not just because he commands the winds and the waves, not just because he commands the sicknesses, not just because he commands the spirits, but because, like us as the people in the synagogue said, he teaches with authority. You know, Jesus has the power for our circumstance and our situation. He has the power, he has the authority. Now, I know that there are some that Jesus didn't calm the waves, or God didn't calm the waves right away, because we go back to the Old Testament and we see where Daniel was still thrown in the fires, the lion's den. He didn't get to have that stopped before it happened. You know, and I can imagine his state of mind and thoughts as he was going in there. You know, some people say maybe he was perfectly calm, knowing God would rescue him. And I don't know that I would still have some fluttering that of what was going on in my heart, that I was fixing to be thrown in the lion's den. I think there would be some natural responses there. I'd say not lacking of faith, but, and there's lions sitting in front of you, you know, or down in that den, you could hear them roaring. And so he was thrown into the lion's den. But the mouths of the lions were shut. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fiery furnace, but there was one in the furnace walking around with them. Okay? Joseph didn't avoid being thrown in the pit and being sold, you know, and being put in the prison after that. But there was one with him, it says, that he had favor upon him. Either way, you want God on your side. Whether you're going to have Jesus standing up in your boat and saying, "Peace, be still," and the situation goes away, and you praise God and you thank him. Whether you continue to go through the trial and through that rough season, you want Jesus with you. Because he is what keeps you through that rough season. And yes, I know that there is also, in Hebrews, it talks about many who died and who perished and who didn't get the "peace be still," and they didn't get the mouth of the lions shut, and they didn't get someone walking around in that furnace with them while they were, as they were walking around and then being delivered. They didn't have that scenario. They perished. But I think about what Paul said. To be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. You know, this is not an easy thing to say, but I had to learn this with my husband and the things he has going on. You know, especially when he was diagnosed with melanoma. I had to realize and come to grips with the fact that death is always around us. Whether it's a pandemic or things that are going on, if you live on a farm, you know that animals and life and death happen. And so you have to resolve that no matter what happens, you need Jesus with you. You need Jesus with you in all scenarios. My scenarios I just gave, where he calms the situation, where he stops the situation, where he doesn't stop the situation and you have to go through it, but he is there with you. Or whether the situation is the end of your time. Like I say, Paul was very open about that. He said in 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be home with the Lord. Philippians 1:23, he says, I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. You know, but he stayed. He says, For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You know, it's not a very popular thing to probably come on and say, but we have to have a view of what happens when we pass on, because all of us are going to have that happen. It's appointed once for man to die. And so you have to think, when you're done with this life here, what comes after? I want Jesus with me in all of my scenarios. There is a great and glorious day where I can tell you that he said he was able, when I asked, to say, peace be still to my situation, and it was done, and it was over and gone. And I can tell you about that. And we love to hear those stories. We love to hear those stories. And then we do love to hear the stories of someone who goes through the scenario, the situation, the affliction. But like I said last week, being strong, feeling weak, making it through. I don't know how I made it through on some of them, but I know that I had to have him with me, or I wouldn't have made it through. Because as we, you know, many of you have heard the story, there are many times when I feel like I was carried through. And that's what Jesus does. His shoulders and his arms are that big. He carries me through. But there will be a time when I fight a battle that I don't come out what looks like the victor in this world. But thank the Lord that that is still a victory. Because you know, I got Jesus with me then, and Jesus conquered death and hell. And I don't have to submit to either one of those. I don't have to be a victim of death, because I go from mortality to immortality. I go from being absent in the body to being present with the Lord. I just want you to meditate this week. What manner of man is this? Just kind of started it for me to think, man, I don't think I know who I'm dealing with here. The disciples felt the same way, didn't they? They went from being very afraid to being very much afraid of the man standing in their midst. And no, Jesus is not standing necessarily physically right here in my midst. But he left us with the Holy Spirit. He did not leave us alone. We have a comforter. We have one who is a little bit different but lives inside of me. And I have that hope of glory through Jesus Christ and what he did as a man here on earth. So I can still read my Bible and marvel, what manner of man is this? He's the God-man who can take you through all of those situations. And that's the hope that you have to have. You know, I've not faced dying, but I know that even when I did my thesis for my master's degree, it was interesting because the people who I interviewed, the common theme of those who persevered and made it was hope. Hope, faith, many of them, all of them that I interviewed, faith. Because they knew that this was not their home. They knew that there was something else. So go back and read the scriptures. Read some of the scriptures in the New Testament. Yes, it's miracles of Jesus, and they make us, you know, feel good, and they're good stories. But while you're reading those stories, think about, even on his death, what manner of man is this? He conquered death and hell for you. If you need to know more about Jesus and his ability to conquer death and hell, his love for you, that he wants you to be with him for eternity, so that when you do trade this mortality for immortality, you live with him forever, please let me know. All right, y'all have a good week, and I hope to see you back here next Monday. Thank you. Bye-bye.